If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it makes no difference where you were living or how much sin you had in your life, how old you were or nothing. The day you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, how much of your sin did He cleanse? All of it. He washed you in His blood and cleansed you. And at that moment, you were in perfect, perfect shape. Now, I remember when I was in the hospital with Caitlin years ago, when the doctor said it was impossible for her to live. There was a little 2-month-old baby in the hospital there too. And I was standing there in the waiting room. Somebody else was in visiting with Caitlin. Of course, you know, they were just sitting with her. You couldn't talk with her, nothing. But she was comatose too at the time. But I was out in the hallway there when a couple was standing there with, it looked like their children or whatever, a younger couple. And a doctor, two doctors actually walked up and said, "Sir, we're sorry, but your child, your grandchild is 95% brain dead. And so in the morning he will be gone. So you need to prepare for a funeral." And the doctors walked off. I walked over to the older man, which looked like he might have been 50, 45 or 50. And I said, "Sir, are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, sir, I'm a Baptist." I said, "Well, where are you from?" And he told me somewhere up in the Northeast. I said, "Where do you go to church?" He said, "We go to a certain Baptist church." I said, "Do you go every Sunday?" He said, "No, I go very rarely. I drive a truck over the road, and a lot of the time I'm out of town on a job on Sunday." And I said, "What a shame." I said, "Because you are not a believing Christian and an on-fire Christian." I said, "I just heard the doctor say your grandchild's going to die." I turned to his wife and I said, "How about you? Do you go to church? Are you a Christian?" She said, "Well, yeah, but I only go when my husband's there. I don't go if he's not there." I said, "So both of y'all are virtually dead Christians." I turned to the young woman. I said, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, but I don't go to church at all." I asked the young man, I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "I believe in God." I said, "Son, the devils believe in God and tremble." But I said, "You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior." So I spent about 20 minutes talking to this young man and showing him everything that was required to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He was 21 years old, had been raised up in a Baptist Christian home, had never met Jesus. What we get so involved in and so busy with, and we forget the most important things there are, coming to know Jesus. So I led the boy to Christ. After I led him to Christ and he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I said, "Now then, son, where is your child?" He said, "Well, he's in there in ICU." I said, "Well, can I pray for your child?" He said, "Well, I guess so." I said, "Let me tell you something, son. Right now, you have just been washed in the blood of Jesus. And every sin in your life has been cleansed." And I said, "You're never going to be in a better place to receive a miracle from God. Because in far as God's sight, right now you've been cleansed by the blood. And you're perfectly white." I said, "So will you take me in there?" I said, "You're the spiritual head of your family. Would you take me in there?" He took me in there and I looked at this little tiny guy. This long. 2 months old, laying there totally numb, wasn't moving, had things plugged into him all over. And I reached over and I touched this little guy on his tummy with these two fingers. And when I reached the fingers over, I spoke the word of God and I said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, you told me to lay hands on the sick and they will recover." I said, "Lord, you can't lie, so I am speaking healing into this child's body according to your mighty word in Mark 16:18. I said, "So it's done." I turned to the young man and his wife, and I said, "I guarantee the Lord will do a wonderful work on your child." I turned and walked out. That was about 11 o'clock at night. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I went home. And I slept about 3 hours, and I turned around and came back. So I got there. It must have been at 9 o'clock or something like that when I walked back into Cook's Medical Center. When I walked in the room of ICU, the little mother come, "Mr. Scrivener, Mr. Scrivener, would you come and look at my baby?" I said, okay, what did the Lord do for your baby? I go over there and she said, last night after you left, the baby pulled all of the things off of itself. And it was laying there breathing and kicking and cooing. Well, the next day, they had that little child in a little red wagon on a pillow walking up and down the halls of ICU in waiting room in Cook's Medical Center, praising God that God had saved their little child. Now, see, that's what Jesus told me I could do. Now, unfortunately, I don't know why the church don't believe the Word of God. But I've come to realize there's believing believers and unbelieving believers in church. And most of us are unbelieving, aren't we, Casey? Most are unbelieving. Because if God said it, just like Casey said, this crazy man here, if God said it, I'd just take it to the bank. Amen. That's all there is to it. I just believe him and I do what he says. And we're getting another crazy man back here. He's sitting on the back row back over here. He's getting just about like me. They've started to go pray for the sick, you know, and we're going to expect to get great and mighty things. But it's amazing, after he died and he cleansed us from the stain of sin, he sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God of heaven. This shows that God's Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name of God gave him is far greater than their names. Verse 5 and 6. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, you are my son. Today I have become your father. And again God said, I will be his father and he will be my son. And then when he presented his honored son to the world, God said, let all the angels of God worship him. Everything is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and there is to be nothing in your life before him. Nothing. That is the secret of putting him first. Now then, we do not understand that when we get away from God, but I see this all the time with people, they get away from God, they get too busy doing other things. And when they get away from God, it's not God's patient and merciful. He will not strike you with something the first day or two when you turn your back on him. Usually it's more like 10 or 15 or 20 years. He will do everything he can to bring you back to himself. And if he does not accomplish that, then he will strike you with sickness and disease. And it will come upon you or upon your children. Now this is the thing that the church really doesn't believe, that the sins of the parents are passed to the children. But it's in the Word of God all over the place. You know, but nobody wants to believe that their sin could make their children sick. But it certainly can. Verse 7 and 8 here. God calls his angels messengers, swift as the wind, and servants made of flaming fire. Boy, aren't those critters something else? But to his son, he says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your royal power is expressed in righteousness. If his power is expressed in righteousness, why do you think he wants us to walk in righteousness? Because that's how our power is going to be expressed. Like Casey said a while ago, you can't be living in sin and expect God's power to flow through you. It will not work. It will bring death to you, you know, but many people today try to justify their sin. Well, I just had to tell that little lie, because if I told the truth, I'd get in trouble with my wife. Well, it's better to be in trouble with your wife than to be in trouble with God. You know, it's better, a whole lot better to tell the truth than it is to tell a lie. Amen. Now then, verse 9 and 10. He says there, you love what is right and hate what is wrong. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. Now, he loves what is right and he hates what's wrong. He loves good and he hates evil. So we don't want to walk in any kind of evil. And Lord, in the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens are the works of your hands. I can only imagine when I read in the book of Proverbs when it says, I, wisdom, was with him when he laid the foundations of the earth. I, wisdom, was the first thing God created. Can you imagine Him creating wisdom? The spirit of wisdom, like Himself, but it's so full of knowledge that wisdom knows how to do everything. And all we got to do to get that wisdom is ask the Father in the name of Jesus. And when you ask in faith with nothing wavering, He said He gives it to you liberally. Wisdom. How many people go through their whole life and never ask God for wisdom? They go to school. They get their degrees. They get every kind of education you can imagine. They study for years, 10, 12, 15, 20 years. Some people getting PhDs, all kinds of things. And they never, ever understand how to really make things work, because God's the only one that knows how to make it work. And wisdom will teach you how to use the knowledge you have. And wisdom will even teach you how to do things you don't even know about. You can do things that's awesome if you walk in wisdom. And the only place to get that is from God. So anytime you go to do anything, I can think of all the different things. I mean, when I think about wisdom and how God made wisdom, and when I read the Proverbs and everything, when I was in the business world, I remember one day a VP called me that I was working for, and when I was a regional engineer for this large corporation. He said, "Thurman, go to Minneapolis and see what you can do. They want to shut down the entire dock for 6 weeks. And he said, "We can't stand that." He said, "There's no way we can handle that." He said, "So you go up there and see what you can do to show those contractors how they can do that job and do it a lot shorter than 6 weeks. Okay, I get on an airplane and I fly up there and I'm praying all the way up there, "Lord, I need wisdom and knowledge and understanding how to do this job. I know you know how to do it. I don't know, but I know you do. And you told me, you promised me in your word, I could ask for wisdom and you would give it to me liberally. So I need all the knowledge and information when I get there. I'll take my notepad. I'll start walking around. I want you to show me everything I need to do and how I need to do it to make this job the shortest possible." So I got my notepad. I got there and I started walking around. I spent about a half a day or so walking around making notes as things came to my mind.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled "Swimming in the Baptism of Fire," or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.